The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Something about Ozzy at 7 here on 710 KNUS. George Brockler back with you on The George Show. We are going to do what we have done routinely here over the past couple months during this very pivotal political season. And I want to emphasize, too, we are an open-door air radio station. And that is, if the head of the Democratic Party ever wanted to come on and answer questions or have a chat, love to have you on. Give us a call. 303-696-1971, and we'll put you on. But as it is, the folks that routinely come on board are the head of the Colorado GOP, that's Chairwoman Christy Burton Brown, and Vice Chair Priscilla Ron, not in studio today, which is unusual. I'm going to bring them both up right now. Christy, thanks for joining us. What's going on?
Hey, George. Going good. It's almost primary season. Like, you know, the day is almost here.
I know. Have you gotten your ballot yet?
No, I have not, actually.
Priscilla, you're on the line, too. Thanks for joining us. I understand you had some red-eye flight stuff, so I presume you – I'm picturing you in some kind of a robe. There's a stain that may or may not be food on it. There's a lit cigarette, a cup of coffee, and maybe you're sitting in the dark somewhere. Am I even close?
You are so close. It's scary.
It's like we have a camera in there. Have you gotten your ballot yet?
I have not gotten my ballot yet.
I know someone who has because they texted me and were asking me questions about some of the races, so I know they're already starting to show up. And you know who else knows they're starting to show up? The Democrats. And so what I wanted to start with was asking you things. I know you guys have been pummeled with these questions over the last day or so because we've started to see ads that come out that are peculiar. Christy, what have you seen out there? And then I'll ask you guys to talk to me about what's going on.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and George, as is normal in all elections, we're starting to see the ads from actual campaigns promoting their candidates. But I'm guessing that's not what you're talking about. We also saw yesterday and the day before over $1.5 million in ad buys, specifically TV buys, by the Democrats and super PACs supporting the Democrats. In the U.S. Senate race, the governor's race, and then a different buy in CD8, which, as you know, is one of our closest congressional races this year.
Now, in fact, we're not just guessing that it's the Dems. One of the names of the organizations that doing this actually has the word Democratic in it. In fact, it's called Democratic Colorado.
Yeah. Well, and the other one, if you look them up on Tracer, where they have to disclose their campaign finance. Things they say, our goal is to promote Democrat candidates. So yeah, they're like pretty open about these. This is the purpose of the super PAC, is to promote Democrats and play millions of dollars worth of money in our primaries.
Now, Priscilla, I want to ask you, because I started talking about this in the last segment, you could look at this. If I am the candidates that seem to be quote unquote attacked by this, and those candidates in each of the races for Senator Ron Hanks and Governor, it's Greg Lopez, and in the 8th, I think it's Lori Sane. You could end up making the argument, of course they're attacking me as too conservative. They want to kill me in the crib. They do not want to see my face out there during the general election. Why isn't that the right way to see this?
Oh, that's a great analogy because, I mean, isn't that what the Democrats do? They try to end your life before you can even begin, but we've seen Democrats do this in primaries in the past. This is something we anticipated seeing. And so I think the main thing we need to do is get the word out to people who are listening and unaffiliated voters that, hey, this is election time. You're going to see ads. You need to ignore most of them and go straight to the candidate's website or contact the candidate, ask them questions about the things you see, because this is all about manipulation. That's what the left does. They manipulate to get votes, and they lie to us. in order to win. And I don't think that's that doesn't show a lot of integrity. And we have a lot of great candidates who deserve to be judged on their own merit, not from a left-leaning partisan hack ad.
The interesting thing for me about this is that the ads themselves are, I mean, there's nothing illegal about what they're doing. And I've seen people on social media and heard, you know, other Republicans decry this as somehow cheating or rigging the system. I think it's kind of smart. I mean, I don't think they're violating a single law here. And I saw something where Greg Brophy commented that this is kind of brilliant, right? Spend $1 million now so you don't have to spend $20 million later.
Right. I mean, and Polis is a businessman, for example. So, and the thing about these super PACs is they don't have, some of them don't have to disclose their donors. Some of them are trying to get outside the disclosure window. So they disclose, you know, 30 days after the election. There's one that we think actually may be violating. Not disclosing some things. We'll see about that. Of course, they're always willing to pay the consequences because for them, it's all about, you know, I mean, what I think is funny, George, they talk all about, like, you know, they condemn us anytime a Republican says anything about stealing an election, interfering, anything like that. But legal or not legal, they're certainly attempting to interfere with and almost rig our primaries with millions of dollars. And the road I think like to go down on this, George, is that, and the NRSC said this yesterday, this just proves the panic that the Democrats are in at a national level. They are spending in Washington in that Senate primary, here in Colorado, and in New Hampshire, three states typically considered blue in the U.S. Senate races. And the Democrats are spending millions in all three of those primaries because they're actually worried about all three of those seats and how vulnerable their senators are this year.
Is there a broader strategy here as well? And that is, if we can put these three on ballots, we have a chance at influencing other races in between them. I mean, is that part of that? Or is it such that in your experience, Priscilla and Christy, that it won't matter? These are one-offs, right? Like nobody is going to be influenced by a Hanks, Lopez, Sane on the ticket. They're still going to vote for the other candidates like the Kellners and the Sciases and the others. Or is this going to have some sort of an effect on other races?
Well, you know, I don't know that I
would. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Christy. Go for it.
I was going to say that everything's a political strategy. Everything is geared towards trying to destroy our candidates so that their candidates look great and people will not pay attention and then vote for the Democrat candidate and repeat the insanity in our state. We saw this in Virginia where they tried to throw everything at the wall. We talked about this in that after that election where they just tried everything and everything failed, because when you have failed policies and the voters look at people's records and they see the gas prices and the inflation and the lack of safety and the overdose deaths and all of these things, they're so desperate because they can't win on their own record. The only thing that the left can do is try to destroy and smear our candidates.
Christy, one of the other things that is a narrative piece out there, and I think it's smart for the Democrats, again, to try to push certain candidates forward, even if it seems like it's this backhanded way of doing it, and that is the recognition that no general election for a race the size of governor, unless you're Jared Polis, or Senate, can be won with monies just from inside the state of Colorado. There have got to be robust third-party efforts. And, you know, we saw with Cory Gardner's races, millions and millions and tens of millions of dollars. That's how important these races are. And most of that money comes from outside of the state of Colorado. I think there is some, we have to have a conversation about, will that money be there regardless of who the Republican nominees are, in your opinion? I'm not asking you to come out and endorse someone. I'm saying based on, and I know you talk with these folks and you hear things. What is your sense of what outside money would be available for these general election races, depending upon who the candidates are?
Yeah, you know, George, I think it's a good question. A lot of people are curious about Colorado and Republicans. Like, is there going to be money to actually make this race competitive? I think there will be. I think, yes, for one thing, as I said, this is an illustration of how desperate the Democrats are, knowing this seat is on the table, knowing Michael Bennett can be beat. I do think it matters. And I'm going to say it matters more what the candidate focuses on rather than the name of the candidate. As you know, state party's neutral. We let the candidates, you know, run their own race and voters make their choice. But I think, yes, national people looking in here in Colorado are very interested in a candidate who can focus in on the issues we can win on this year, which is talking about inflation and the cost of living and just the terrible economic choices that Joe Biden has made and Michael Bennett has been a rubber stamp on. It is going to be someone who can talk about crime and public safety and the border and national security, these issues that voters are saying, I care about this year, and I do not think the Democrats have brought solutions to the table. So that is what I think matters, is a candidate who can speak to those issues, who can show Michael Bennett is a complete rubber stamp on the Biden agenda. And, you know, I think not just the Senate race, but all the races, we're talking about congressional races statewide, not all candidates are committed to pushing the message we have to push to win. And my hope is that whichever candidates win on the primary day, they're going to push the message we have to push to beat the Democrats.
Well, and I think that's true. I think the other thing is you're not going to see any ads attacking any Republican candidates for the economy or national security. It will all be for those wedge issues that are so far down voters' interest list, but their goal will be to try to make them seem more extreme or toxic. And some candidates have given answers and positions that lend themselves more easily to that characterization. Priscilla, listen, how much do the outside groups that have limited dollars, and when I say outside groups, I'll cut to the chase. Mitch McConnell controls a kajillion dollars that can be spent in these Senate races. And for Mitch McConnell, what I've heard is he is very good at adding to 51. 52, 53, 54, those might be awesome. But what he's most concerned with is 51. And in an environment with limited dollars, and your goal is to get 51, which is a majority, does it matter who the candidate is here? And maybe issue selection is part of that, too. Will they bet on anyone here, or are they going to bet in Colorado because they think it's a pickup opportunity, but that pickup opportunity wanes a bit depending upon who is the nominee? A lot of words there. Sorry.
Absolutely. Everything matters when you look at our race. Well, we already have two Democrat senators, so he's going to try to hold on to that seat. It's not about losing our well, what I should say is we are a swing state, yes, but he's going to try to pick up Georgia. You know, that's another hot race. Pennsylvania is another hot race. He's going to try to
Arizona, Kelly.
Right, exactly. So like some of these very key states he's going to be invested in because he knows Michael Bennett is vulnerable. And but you know what? I'm really confident in our national Republicans who are going to invest in Colorado too, depending on who our candidate is, because anybody's going to be better than anybody's better than Bennett. We've looked at the polls, we've looked at the data against a general candidate. A Republican is up by one percentage point. So we're gonna be all in. We're not threatened by the Democrats at all. We'll match their efforts, and we are going to make sure that we take back Colorado. And he's going to try, of course, to influence our races here, but I don't see him being successful.
I think that here's a texter that came in with a text that says, are the ads that are currently running saying that the candidates are too conservative, are those ads intended to target the independents? I don't think so. I think they're targeted to hit your AAA Republican primary voters.
Absolutely. And George, it's actually a question I've gotten from a handful of people is they bring up the open primary here in Colorado. And they're like, see, if you had stopped that, this wouldn't be happening. And I'm like, no. Those are two separate issues. That issue is worth a discussion. I've had a million discussions with people on it. Very worthwhile discussion to have. This is very different. There's no way on earth those commercials are designed to persuade unaffiliated swing voters. When you're coming on air as a Democrat saying this Republican is too conservative, they are, which of course we don't think they're too conservative.
Like, no, that's right.
Believe in conservative values. But I'm saying when you're targeting a message about someone being very pro-life and also they're going down the election integrity route and a few other routes like that, you are targeting core base Republican voters who vote in our primary every time. which is why yesterday we were talking a little bit about the Democrats, you know, crying foul all the time about, you know, when we talk about interference in elections and rigging elections, well, what are they trying to do? They are trying to reach our base. This has absolutely nothing to do with unaffiliated voting in the primary. This is about them targeting Republicans who are consistent voters in these primaries.
You talked about the open primary thing, at least regarding unaffiliateds. We are now seeing reporting indicating out of the 3rd Congressional District, that's Congresswoman Lauren Boebert's district, that there are, and this is out of the article, you've probably seen it, thousands of Democrats who are unaffiliating. And they're suggesting that in large part this is so that they can vote against Congresswoman Boebert in the primary and vote for her primary opponent, Don Corum. What, and you're familiar with the campaign in that area out there, Christy, you worked on it. What are you hearing? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, both disgusting and laughable that the Democrats think a strategy like that is going to work. CD3 is a very, very safe Republican district. Again, we're neutral in primaries, but I can say, having worked on Congresswoman Boebert's campaign in 2020, she's extremely popular in the area, and not just among Republicans. She fits the district very well, and I have been tracking that. We knew that's what the Democrats were doing. We knew that was part of their strategy. They don't like how conservative she is. They don't like the issues she focuses on that represent her district. And so, yes, they have convinced a certain number of Democrats to flip over to unaffiliated. It's not in the number they need to actually swing that race. So nice try, guys. Not going to work.
That's interesting. Thousands is a lot. Like, I always thought there would be a handful of people that would give up their affiliation to be able to play in another party's race, but I've never heard of thousands. I agree. I don't think that's enough to change the outcome of the primary, but that's a lot. That feels like a concerted effort.
Oh, it is a concerted effort. Oh, yeah. No, that's been their goal. They've talked about it for months. They've had people write letters, like letters to the editor, op-eds in the papers out there, literally asking Democrats to do that, which, you know, I think is patently ridiculous, once again, to try and rig another party's primary. But yes, we've been keeping close tabs on it. It's not, while it's a concerted effort, it's not in the great enough numbers to actually switch that primary.
Priscilla, as we head into this, one of the things that strikes me as maybe a good sign based on this Democrat spending. I always expected the Senate race to be somewhat competitive, right? I mean, just even though we are kind of blue at that level, I always expected it would be kind of competitive. It doesn't surprise me to see that kind of money flowing here. The one that gets me, though, is the money showing up in the governor's race, because Daddy Warbucks is sitting on a war chest that's really basically his pocketbook that he can pull out $1 jillion at any moment and overwhelm any other candidate. The fact that they have a third party that is seeing polling or something out there that causes them to say, my God, we better weigh in on the primary, that's telling me something.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't think this time around, I mean, the message is, do we really want someone who's a multimillionaire who is so detached from everyday people to lead and represent everybody in Colorado? He's done a really, really poor job of governing in a way that is fair and that has helped our state. Our state is not better under Jared Polis's governance, and we have the receipts to show for it. And I think, to Christie's point, our candidates just need to get the message out. We need to talk to as many voters as possible, because a lot of people don't know the legislation that's come out of a legislature the past 4 years. You know, they're busy doing their jobs and raising their families and working, that they're not aware that these bills have been passed that have damaged Colorado and ruined us and got us to this point. So I say, if you like high inflation, if you
who
like
doesn't?
Killing babies in the womb, if you like your children dying from overdoses, if you like taxes on your gas and shortages of baby formula, vote for a Democrat. But if you want solutions, then we need to make a change. And all of the things that have gone wrong in Colorado has been under the supermajority of the Democrats. They're not the ones to bring the solution. They are not the ones that are going to help everyday Coloradans.
Last thoughts, KBB, before we cut you guys loose to get back to the cigarettes and coffee?
I'm definitely drinking coffee over here. I think I'll skip the cigarettes this morning. But I think what we want voters to do is just like, do what they normally do. Like, be smart. Go research the candidates yourself. I think relying on any ads that are being put up on TV to tell you what a candidate believes usually has a motive behind it, especially when it's not coming from the candidate itself or him or herself. And so I think that's what we want voters to do. Go do your research. These candidates have websites. They outline their positions. They've been quoted in news articles. Make the best choice of who you think can not just, you know, represent us in the primary, and we're proud that person is our standard bearer, but also someone who, along with that, can beat Michael Bennett, beat Jared Polis, and the rest of the Democrats in November. And both of those things are very essential this year.
Last quickfire, because we've gone long because I love talking with both of you. Last quickfire prediction, not can we, will we, Priscilla, State House, State Senate, come November, who's in charge?
Oh, I think in state Senate, I think Republicans pull it out. I think it's going to be a little bit tougher in the House, but we'll make some gains. Definitely.
KBB, what do you think?
Oh yeah, you're going to see a completely new state in November. Voters are going to restore balance. And
do we take the House
back in office?
Do we take the state House?
State House, I think we got to keep watching the numbers. It's possible. State Senate is like highly likely. State House got to win 9 out of 15 competitive seats. So. Absolutely possible. We'll see.
Christy Burton Brown, Priscilla Ron, State Party Chair and Vice Chair for the Republicans. Thanks for giving us some of your morning.
Thanks, George.
Thank you, George.
I'll talk with you guys soon. Now, listen, when we come back, we're going to play the recording, the clip of the ad that's being run on behalf of the Dems ostensibly attacking Ron Hanks. We will play that when we come back. Before we do, though, I want to tell you about our friends at Twin Aspen Dental Center, Doctors Richter and Snyder. You've heard them in studio here. You've heard some of their live ads that they've done, or recorded ads they've done. Phenomenal duo doing great work down there at their new facility just off of Stroh Road in front of Lehman Academy and Parker. Here's the bottom line. If you have any apprehension at all about going to see the dentist, and many people do, these are the folks to go see. Not only are they welcoming, non-judgmental, which I think is always great, they also engage in sedation dentistry. They also have people who come in to see them for things like crowns, bridges, dental implants. They're huge on the preventative dentistry, and that's what I count on. Twice a year, I go in about 6 months apart. Most of you probably do that. If you're not, you got to get it on your to-do list. That mouth is the gateway to everything on the inside of you. Make sure that it is healthy and you have a better shot at staying healthy. Take that first step towards keeping your great smile and getting an even better smile. Schedule your appointment just like I did. I did that with this team. I put my money where my mouth, or my mouth where my money. I've got my mind on my mouth, whatever it is. I put my mouth where my mouth is. Visit TwinAspenDentalCenter.com or call 303-841-7466. That's TwinAspenDentalCenter.com or 303-841-7466. It's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. Man, I remember when this video came out, a little John Cougar Mellencamp here, Pink Houses. Man, that was back in the heyday for MTV. That was, good Lord, high school years. Remember the Battle of the Bands that they would have? The battle of those videos, and Def Leppard won like 10 weeks in a row. Nina Blackwell, and where are those? Are they all dead now? I mean, those people have got to be, what, 90, 100, something like that? Billy would know. Billy,
Def Leppard just released new music a little while
Def
ago.
Def Leppard did?
Yeah.
Didn't they lose a member, or a member lose an arm, or something like that?
Yeah, their drummer. Yeah, their drummer was in an awful car crash and lost his arm.
That's a long time ago.
Long, long, long.
But he came back, right? I mean, that's an amazing story.
Oh yeah, it's great, and their new stuff's good. It's not necessarily an evolution. So if you like Color by Numbers, Def Leppard, this will possibly scratch the itch. They're not doing anything new.
Is it pour some sugar on me quality?
No. Personally, no. It's not that good. It is. I mean, it's Def Leppard. It is. It's there. It's new music. It's a solid song. Is it going to replace some of their top five hits? No, not at all. But that's okay. It's not like, because AC/DC recently, well, not recently, but a while ago, released new music. And that was good. That was very good. That album had two songs on it. And I guess I can say this now. I guess the audience probably doesn't care, though, but Ozzy's got new stuff coming out.
Oh, my. Now, I, for a minute there, thought that Ozzy may have moved on to the next life, too.
No, just wait. This stuff, because he was sick during the last one, and, you know, and then Under the Graveyard's a fantastic song, and it was really, really good. But he's got a new one coming out. Guest on the song is Jeff Beck.
Oh, my goodness.
The song.
He's alive, too.
Kicks. Wow. The song kicks. It is fantastic. Yeah, I can't wait.
We'll have to play that at least.
The audio,
music.
The audio's not released for a couple of weeks, but it's fantastic.
We'll my thanks to KBB, Chrissy Burton Brown, and PR, Priscilla Ron, for coming on to the show, albeit not in studio. And that's normally Priscilla's gig because she drives to her job during the school year in Denver and stops by here. And that's always nice to have at least one, if not both of them, in studio so you can make that eye contact and, you know, threaten them physically to wrap it up, you know, that kind of thing. But nonetheless, it's great to have them on the phone. The issue that really predominated the conversation was one of the Democrat efforts to advance certain candidates in sort of a super smart, clever, not quite surreptitious, but in that kind of a way. And they're doing it through ads in the primary season targeted to Republican voters. And you know that because I've seen 8 billion of these ads on Fox News. They're not trying to speak to the unaffiliateds through Fox News. They're not trying to speak to the libs through Fox News. They're trying to speak to Republican AAA going to vote in the primary voters who just got their ballots in the mail or will this week. So to highlight that, I want to ask in a moment, I'm going to ask Billy to play sound from the ad that's being run on behalf of Ron Hanks. Now, it's being funded by a group called, wait for it, Democratic Colorado. They are a left-wing super PAC, and they have spent $800,000 just this week, $800,000 to push this message out. And so my question for you, and you can start calling in right now at 303-696-1971, is twofold. One, what is this ad really trying to accomplish? Is it trying to kill off Ron Hanks, or is it trying to get Ron Hanks to be the primary winner? And the second question, and this one may be more important, who do you think the Democrats want to face in the U.S. Senate, in the governor's race, and if you know about it, in the 8th congressional race? That's where all these monies are being spent. Who do you think they want to face? Not who's your favorite candidate. Those may not be the same person. Who do they want to face? 303-696-1971. And, of course, texts are starting to come in. I'll read those as they come as well. Billy, can you play that cut from that Ron Hanks thing? Targeted at Republicans, highlighting Ron's position on the issues that are most important to conservatives, like border security, like pro-life, like election integrity. Why would they push that message to Republicans during a primary? There's really only two camps here, right? One is they're trying to kill Ron Hanks because they know Ron Hanks will be dominant in the general. He'll be much harder to beat. Or it's they want Ron to win the primary because that's who they want to face in the Rock'em Sock'em robot contest of the general election. That's who they want to face. What do you believe? I believe it's the former, not the latter. I mean, I believe it's the latter, not the former. How many times have you made that error? I believe it's because they think Ron is eminently more beatable. And I know that Priscilla and KBB gave the political answers, lowercase p, that they had to give in their positions. But I'm here to tell you, folks, at least the things that I've heard, national money is not going to come to the rescue of Ron as a nominee. And that's not to say I support him or oppose him. That's not to say he isn't the best candidate or he's the worst. That's not a conversation about that. What I'm telling you is, with the limited number of dollars that are out there to spend in Senate races to win back the Senate, this race becomes instantly less competitive in the view of the people outside of the state. Now, I know that what we have heard is, we've just got to get out there and communicate better our principles and our positions. And if we're just conservative enough and we tell people that, they'll vote for us, because that has not turned out to be true in Colorado. In fact, it only turns out to be true in Republican states, and we ain't one, not at the moment, for sure. So I think what happens here is, if for some reason we don't go with the other guy, in any of these races. And I say the other guy, generic, not gender, because in the 8th congressional district, there are four people running. Only one of them's a dude. You know, you go with the candidate that's being targeted. It's seemingly being targeted by the Democrat super PAC money. And we're in real trouble because the people that have limited political dollars to spend, they're not going to bet on a loser. And that's how they're going to view this. They're going to view them as a loser. And so while Bennett will have at his disposal tens of millions of dollars, either directly or indirectly through third party stuff, the Republicans will not. They will not show up to spend on this. And this idea that we're going to grassroots our way to victory on a statewide race, no, we are not. I do not believe that. Now, if you can prove me wrong, and I'd love to be proven wrong, I will say it every day for a month on this radio show, I was wrong. But I do not believe that is going to happen. I don't believe that stands any chance of happening. Let's go to the phones right now at 303-696-1971. Ben from Morrison, you're on 710 KNUS. Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm an independent who generally votes Democrat for most things. And I can tell you right now who I'd like to run against would be Lopez, Hanks, and have Tina Peters on that ballot.
Why do you want that? Why do you say that?
Because they're wackadoodles. And, you know, like, they're... There are people that are going to shoo in the election for Democrats if you put them on the ballot. I was listening to your interview with Pam Anderson, and I also listened to the one with Tina Peters, and I'm actually excited to hear that, hear them go head-to-head if you have them on next week.
Me too.
But Pam Anderson was just so much more sensible. You know, she sounded like she knew her job, everything like that. And I don't know. When I hear these other people, they're too crazy.
And so first off, two things. One, thanks for listening and calling in, man, especially if you are a center-left kind of person. I appreciate that you listen to the show. And the second thing is thanks for calling in and sharing that. I'm interested to see what the others think, too. Like, have you talked to anyone else in your day-to-day life who's politically aligned with you or different? And do you guys ever talk about things like this? Or is this just, this is how I feel about it?
It's how I feel about it. Everybody I know does think Tina Peters is crazy. I mean, she just got indicted on Friday in Mesa County. I'm not sure if you're following that news.
No. But another indictment?
The grand jury just did the indictment on Friday.
Another one? Exactly, because she was indicted a while ago. I wonder if it wasn't the judge's ruling on the probable cause part. Because remember what happens is you get indicted. And then the defense says, hey, judge, please look at the transcripts and the record from the grand jury because we think something bad happened here. Please tell us if you agree with the grand jury that there was probable cause. My understanding is the judge came back from that and said, yep, I agree.
Yeah, I think that's what happened on Friday, if that's correct. So I'm not sure. But I think it had to do with her falsifying an ID. She, you know, brought somebody in for an employment interview and then never hired the person, but then used his security clearance, supposedly, to access these voter systems. So, I mean, there's a good chance she might, you know, be in jail by the time the election rolls around.
Well, knowing our criminal justice system, that won't happen because it's such a slow rolling system. But is there a chance she could be in trial? And this part, I mean, you can picture this, right? Like, let's say she somehow wins and becomes the Secretary of State. We could have a Secretary of State not doing their job because they're seated at the defendant's table across the state in Mesa County for weeks being prosecuted for felonies. And if convicted, have to return for sentencing and maybe be incarcerated. I mean, that's a real potential.
Exactly.
I mean, one other thing. While we're sitting here talking, Ben, I saw back-to-back ads, one attacking Greg Lopez and one attacking Ron Hanks as being too conservative, and it's on Fox News, which is soundless right here in the studio every day. That tells you something, where they're sending these messages. If they're trying to send messages to unaffiliated voters or progressives that, hey, this guy's too conservative, that's a general election strategy, why would you send it to Fox News?
Well, exactly, because... I mean, Democrats did the exact same thing up in Pennsylvania. I think it was Pennsylvania, where there was an ad that was actually paid for. The Democrat Party were paying for, like, promotional ads for the Republican candidate.
Ben, before I let you go,
one
of our texters asked, since you're unaffiliated, are you going to vote in the Republican primary? And if so, who are you voting for and why?
No, I'm probably voting in the Democratic primary.
Is there a Democrat primary? Is there anybody in a contested race?
Not really, just some local officials. So.
And so you're going to vote on the local officials one. If you were going to play in the Republican primary, who would you vote for?
probably Pam Anderson for secretary.
Well, I should have asked you, too. Are you supportive of Jenna as Secretary of State? Like, at the end of the day, do you want to see Jenna reelected, or are you looking for somebody new?
I'd have somebody new. I don't think that is an office that should be politicized, but, you know, I don't want people coming in and doing illegal things like they're trying to do in other states where they're trying to overturn elections. You know, that's one of my concerns, is I don't want people, like, coming in and throwing out election results just because they don't like who won.
What about for governor and Senate? Who do you want to see? Bennett remain, Polis remain? And if that's true, then who do you want to see the Republicans put forward for them to battle?
I do like Polis. I'm probably going Polis. And then Bennett, I'm wishy-washy on. I guess it depends. I haven't looked enough into the Senate candidates yet to make an educated decision. But, yeah.
So who would you want the Republicans to run against them?
Oh, Ron Hanks.
Okay, yeah. Hey, Ben, thank you so much for the phone call, buddy. I really appreciate this. Once again, I have put myself in a position to go long at a time when I shouldn't have. But we'll be back, and we're going to take more of your calls here. At 8 o'clock, we'll be joined by Steve Monahan, who is running for the 6th CD as a Republican. George Brockler on The George Show at 710 KNUS. Here on 710 KNUS, we're about to get super smart on all things stock markety and economy-wise with our friend from Alpine Planning Group, Amy Duncan. Good morning, Amy.
Morning, George. All right. I'm going to dive right in here, my friend. As of yesterday on Wednesday, broke a little bit of a winning streak for the market indices, and we're starting off slightly in the red today. Dow's off about 90, S&P off about 10, NASDAQ down slightly, 55 points. So as we stand right now, basically, you know, coming into the dog days of summer, the S&P is off about 14.5% since January. NASDAQ is off about 25% since its high, although that was last November. And the Dow's off a little over 11%. So, you know, again, we've been talking a lot about the volatility, but I think it's interesting. This is not in any way a prediction. I want to make that clear.
Sure.
But a source that we trust and a lot of investors do look at is Goldman Sachs Asset Management. And their asset class forecast that came out in June, I think, is very interesting. Right now, the S&P 500 is trading at about 4,100 points. Their three-month projection, in other words, looking toward the fall of this year, was down to 4,000, so off another, 2 to 3%.
Okay.
But the 12-month projection is back up at 4,500, which would have been a 12-month change and increase of 8.2%. So I think it just is, you know, kind of a grounding thought that, you know, sometimes it does get a little worse before it gets better. Again, these are very, very unique economic times. That's why we really stress volatility control for our clients, allocating money to different buckets for different time frames to try to smooth the ride, knowing that we've got to make that big picture come together for long-term capital appreciation. So anyway, keep the seatbelt buckled up. And if anyone has some questions, give us a call.
I can't wait to hear the next update, Amy, because I do want to ask you about some of the things related to the big R that we won't mention. It's like Voldemort. You don't. Well, I just said his name, that you can't really say it. But I look forward to hearing that from you as we go, and I'm glad that you give us sort of your personal, not prediction, but personal view of this. I appreciate that. Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term, and that's the key, long-term financial success. Investing, as always, is a matter of trust, and they are prepared to earn and keep yours. Call them at 303-843-0918. Call them at 303-843-0918. Call them today. Amy Duncan, thank you so much.
Thanks, George.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
Hey, George Brockler here with just a couple seconds left before we start to play that music. Look, Joan and everybody else on hold at 303-696-1971, I want to take you to have this conversation. I think we have Steve coming up next. If you call back after Steve, I will get you on. Joan, we know the name. We will definitely have you on. And everybody else who's calling in right now, just wait till we get done with this great interview with Steve Monahan, Republican candidate for the 6th Congressional District. You are listening to George Brockler. This here, the aptly named George Show, on the Powerhouse, 710 KNUS.
three-star general, Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.